Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From the piano teacher's living room to the world of confessional videos and illegal TV clips, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and on today's show, we'll debate whether YouTube can replace in-person music lessons. And later, new music from folk icon Joan Baez. But to begin, in the Web 2.0 era, user-created content has permeated the internet, giving citizens of all walks the ability to express opinions, communicate ideas, and give instruction. Known for user-generated comedy and video blogs, YouTube has also become an outlet for free music lessons. But are these videos just a supplement or a substitute for a live instructor? With over a million views, Andrew Furmancic's Piano Lounge channel on YouTube is a popular destination for those trying to learn piano. He joins us on the line from Vancouver, and in a moment we'll hear from a conventional piano teacher, Elizabeth Wolf, a pianist, private instructor, and lecturer based here in New York. First of all, Andrew Furmancic, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, for many musicians, piano lessons, giving lessons to students, that's their bread and butter. That's how, you know, many people make their living. Why begin doing this for free on YouTube?
Well, it's sort of an interesting story. Basically, I started doing this when I wasn't even doing any teaching. I did a little bit here and there. I started when I was about 15 years old, teaching skating lessons and whatnot. And people just thought that I had like a natural knack for teaching, I guess you could say. So I started playing the piano when I was about 5 years old, and I'm a very big, you know, I think it's important if you're serious about piano to actually get lessons in real life. So basically what I did is I came to this point, I was hoping to go to university, everything was going really well, and then I got sick with this disease called pericarditis in my heart, and I had to drop out of everything.
That's the inflammation of the lining around the heart, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, I had that over 30 times because it was a recurrent thing. And what happened is they basically prescribed all this medication, and I had massive muscle weakness, and I was basically, you know, on top of my game before this thing happened. And then basically all my dreams and everything were just down the tubes in about a matter of 6 months or so. So I was, like, in the hospital. I had to sleep sitting up. I couldn't walk or move. I had to, like, drop out of, like, piano, out of school, out of work, pretty much everything. So anyway, I came to this point in my life where, you know, I was really low and I was feeling sorry for myself because I thought, oh, you know, I had this great career ahead of me and all this other stuff, and now it's just all wasted. And then one night I was just thinking, you know what? I should stop feeling sorry for myself because at least I had the opportunity to even have lessons for, like, over 10 years. I think I had them for about 14 years, actually. But so I just realized, wow, I'm really lucky to even have parents that would pay for the lessons and take me to the lessons and support me and get a piano for me. And I was thinking, there must be, like, thousands, if not millions of people out there that have this huge passion for music, but they don't have a opportunity to get lessons. They don't have access to the knowledge because piano itself is a pretty expensive endeavor to take upon yourself. And usually if you're young, you need the help of your parents, right?
Right. So do you expect that people who are listening or watching your instructional videos on YouTube are actually playing pianos, or do you think most of them have kind of cheaper electronic keyboards that they're trying to play?
Well, I do know from my own emails that it ranges between people that are, like, in their 30s or their early 20s or in their teens, and they're just plunking away at, like, a little 26-key keyboard that's, you know, $50-$60. And then there's also people that are watching me, and they basically have these grand pianos sitting at their house, but they've never really thought of like going out and getting a lesson because they're just, I guess, too nervous to go and commit to something like that and spend the money on a lesson when they're not really sure what they're going to get out of it. So I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm not trying to replace piano lessons in person, but what I'm trying to do is actually expand the music community worldwide by introducing it to people that otherwise would be too, you know, maybe afraid to try the lessons, or maybe they just don't have the resources at the time. And then when they go down the road, then they'll find ways to, you know, gather the resources to continue on because they know from past experience that this is what they really want to do.
All right, we're speaking with Andrew Furmancic. His Piano Lounge channel on YouTube has over 1.3 million views of people who are watching Andrew teach them how to play the piano from the most basic stuff. And, you know, Andrew, you're still a young guy. I mean, are you able to play these days, or has this now become your music mission?
I'm starting to play again, but what happened is with the medication, I basically developed tendonitis in both my arms. So I've been trying to get back into it, and I'm actually going to physiotherapy now. So I'm hoping to get back into it maybe within the next year or two. It's been a real stumbling block, but I'm trying not to look on the bad side right here because I've taught so many people already, and it's going so well. I've got a website going. It's howtoplaypiano.ca, mm-hmm. and there's a forum there that people visit, and they help each other, and I contribute information there. And there's people there that have been playing for like 7-8 months now, and they're playing stuff like this one guy. He's been playing for 7 months, and he's learning the Maple Leaf Rag, and he just finished Free Release, the full version, and it sounds great, absolutely excellent.
Very nice. Well, there is a link to that website on the soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org. Let's actually listen to a little bit of Lesson 1, in which, Andrew, you are discussing the numbering of the fingers, a kind of very basic thing. Before you ever set finger to keyboard, you have to know this.
Later on in later lessons, I'll teach you guys how to read sheet music and stuff like that. So, but for now, let's just leave that. That's what we use it for, is to tell our finger, be able to communicate which finger we want on which. Instead of going like, oh, well, that finger on your right hand goes there. It'd be too vague. So how it goes, it's pretty simple. Just look at your fingers like this or like that, whatever. And all you do is your thumbs are going to be called 1. Pointing fingers are 2, 3, 4, 5. Just outward. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pretty easy, right?
Pretty easy, yeah. And until you get to the next part where you're talking about how the left side of your left hand is 5 and the left side of your right hand is 1.
yeah.
So, Andrew, I mean, what do you find that you're getting a lot of consistent return visits from people, that they've gone from lesson 1 to 2 and now they're on to 12 or on to 20 or whatever it is?
Yeah, I actually do. I'm sure, like, I've gotten 300,000 views on the very first video. I actually reshot all my lessons in new high definition. I released that video about a month ago, and it already has over 50,000 views on that. But what actually happens, I find, is people, like, they're curious about it, and they watch the first couple lessons, and then maybe they think, well, maybe this isn't for me, maybe it is. But at least they've gotten the opportunity, and everyone that's totally passionate about it, I get these wonderful emails that people are just thanking me so much from the bottom of their heart, and they're saying that I'm like the best teacher they've ever had. And people have told me like they've gotten lessons before and they learned more from me than they have from a teacher that they've gone to for about like 5 years. I guess I just cover a lot of important topics quickly, and because I'm not, you know, able to converse with them, then I just get to, I guess, the point.
Yeah, you can't crack anybody across the knuckles with a ruler when they make a wrong note or something. Andrew Furmancic is with us on the line from Vancouver. He does the Piano Lounge channel of instructional piano videos on YouTube. Let's hear now from Elizabeth Wolf, who's with me here in our studio. She's a pianist, a private instructor, lecturer based here in New York. Among her former students is the super prodigy young composer and pianist Jay Greenberg. Elizabeth, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So how much of traditional piano pedagogy, how much of the traditional way we normally learn the piano has evolved, say, from the 19th century when the piano was still in its infancy?
I think it's a pretty stuck-in-the-mud instrument. So I've been taught a certain way, and this was way back in the 60s at Juilliard, when the performance world was filled with these superstars who had techniques and sound quality that I find missing a bit in today's performance world.
So is YouTube, I mean, is that a new medium that you think could have a good impact on piano education?
Yes, because we're spreading the wealth, and I think that's important in a world like we have today. The more people that look at 88 keys and fall in love, the better. I think the problem could be, when I was teaching class piano at Hunter, I had a great feeling for the number of different hands, the different kinds of minds, the different needs, the different physical abilities, coordination, where 6-8 time was impossible for someone, 2-4 time was the same thing. And I think the problem that I saw, that it was hard for me generically to feed in the repertoire and keep the protocol moving.
So if someone's trying to learn piano via either Andrew's videos or any other kind of online thing, they have to be kind of self-motivating, because there isn't that opportunity, as you're saying, to kind of tailor things to individual students. So what, aside from that, what else might be missing from online instruction that you would get with a live teacher?
I think the ability to look at the student's hands would be my primary thing, because I feel so strongly about the color that's inherent in the instrument that is not inherent in just a depression of a key. And especially for fingering options and for color tools that I can do so carefully and hopefully wisely.
So that's, Andrew, let me ask you the same question. You know, you do teach people sort of live, right? Face to face.
Yeah, I actually do teach people in real life as well.
So what do you feel you're missing, however well the Piano Lounge series is going? What do you feel like you don't get from that you do get with the personal contact?
Well, I find the biggest problem is that I think no two students are alike, and the problem with doing the lessons is you have to market to one person and you have to market to everyone. You have to tailor one lesson to every possible person that could ever watch it. Whereas if you're doing a lesson in real life, you can sit there, you can look at the students' hands, you can look at their basically how they perceive the piano, how they perceive music, and you can basically have a conversation with them. You can plan out a personal program. You can develop a great sense of tone and develop their musical abilities at a more customized level. So I think in a lot of ways a personal lesson is much, much more effective. But
is there an advantage?
That's not possible.
Is there an advantage to online?
Yeah, there are advantages to that too, because I mean, you can sit there in your pajamas and you can take a lesson anytime you want, and you can go back and you can rewatch it again, or you can pause it and you can rewind it, and, right? So there's those advantages too. So there's always pros and cons to everything, but I don't think that online lessons will ever replace real in-life person lessons unless we get into like holographic technology or something.
Although Elizabeth, it seems like, I mean, Andrew may have been joking with the holographic technology, but there is technology now that does allow a kind of almost instant feedback, isn't there?
Yes. In fact, that's what was so fun in researching a bit this morning. I met over the phone a woman, Kathleen Riley, and I really recommend people go to this website, which she gave me permission, it's called pianoperceptions.com. What she is doing is interactive work with musicians, pianists, because of the fact, originally it sounded like because there's a lot of injury, and she's able to medically track what is going on with the flexor muscles, what is being used too much, too little, what rotation is necessary.
How is she able to
hooks up with electrodes and is able to do it in her, and then uses a disc clavier to get exactly the sound as well as the photo of what's going on, so that the student, in quotes, can see the red lines going up, and you'll see it on the website.
We should say a disc clavier is a genuine grand piano,
right,
but it also has a computer built
in. That's right. It gives exactly what you do, it gives back, but not as a player piano. It gives actually the ambience around the sound. And the E competition in Minnesota was the innovator of using the disc clavier of Yamaha because it could be listened to around the globe and judged, the contestants could be judged around the globe in real time.
Andrew Furmancic, does that sound like it could be the next stage in online instruction, or does that get you to a point where you just have too many people again and you can't possibly deal with them all individually?
Yeah, you made a really good point there because I was actually just thinking that. That's actually a really awesome thing, but the problem is that you'd be limited to how many students you'd be able to take on, right?
So you would not be able to handle your 1.3 million current viewers.
No, I think I'd be like, "What's your name again?" It's all these people, right? So the great thing is, like, I'm teaching right now as we speak to about maybe 2,000 people around the world and different countries everywhere, and I'm not aware that I'm teaching. I just did those lessons, you know, a couple months ago, and they're still helping people today.
Now, one of your students has learned to play the maple leaf rag. How long did it take for that person to get to that stage?
His name's Thomas, actually. He's on my form, and he's really motivated. He's one of those self-motivated guys, and he just started playing. He got his piano, I think it was April.
All right, well, we'll hear a little bit of the Maple Leaf Rag as we take a quick break. And when we come back from the break, we want to hear from you. What was your experience learning an instrument? Did you do it with or without a live teacher? Have you ever used the internet to learn an instrument? It doesn't have to be the piano. There are a lot of others out there. And if you're a music teacher, do you use different media to teach? Are there pros and cons, advantages or not? How effective are they? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692, or leave a comment on our website at WNYC.org. And coming up later on our show, Joan Baez talks about teaming up with the grizzled alt-country troubadour Steve Earle for her first studio album in 5 years. That's coming up later on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you've ever wanted to learn this famous Beethoven piece but don't have the money for piano lessons, look no further than YouTube, where Andrew Furmancic dedicates some of his free time to giving free piano lessons online. He's joined us by phone from Vancouver. In the studio here, we're speaking with Elizabeth Wolfe, professor of piano performance and a private instructor herself. And we want to hear from you, our Soundcheck listeners, as well. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. Tell us, if you have learned an instrument, how? Did you teach yourself? Did you learn online? Did you have kind of a traditional grounding in piano pedagogy or guitar lessons or what have you? The number again, 212-433-WNYC, or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. Elizabeth, before the break, Andrew was talking about how right now 2,000 or 3,000 people are studying piano with him, and they could be in dozens of countries around the world and stuff. You have this lecture series that has taken you to many different parts of our country. Is there as much access to piano or any other kind of music lesson when you get outside of major urban areas, or is this kind of thing really likely to take hold in places that are a bit more remote?
Yeah, I would think in remote areas it would take hold, but you know there's less remote anymore. So I think as more and more conservatory students see that they can't stay in major metropolitan areas, that they do have to, however advanced their degrees are, going to have to move, that live piano teacher therefore will be available. There's no pro and con, and I think your word substitute or supplement, I think that those are very good terms to sort of hit around.
All right, Andrew, what is your best case scenario for someone who wants to learn how to play the piano, comes to your YouTube channel and begins to go through your series of lessons? Is your best case scenario that at some point they stop looking at your videos and actually get themselves a real live teacher?
Yes, that's actually absolutely correct. Because I actually, a lot of the teachers online, they actually, their philosophy is, let's teach you a song, let's teach you another song, let's teach you another song, but they don't teach you how to play. They don't teach you any basic fundamental rules of music or theory or posture or anything. They just teach you how to plunk away the notes. So they keep you dependent on their songs. But what I want to do is I basically want to inform you, and then I want you to go off on your own and find a teacher and continue your music studies in real life if that's what you would like to do.
All right, let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have to say, and we'll head upstate New York to Monroe and Ron, who joins us on the line. Ron, I understand you're a piano teacher?
Yes, I'm a retired high school choral director, and this is a great retirement for me. I mean, I love teaching piano, so I carry 10 private students in the community around Monroe. Yes.
And do you use new media at all in what you're doing?
Well, speaking of YouTube, I love the idea of if I'm teaching a Clementi piano sonatina or a movement of a Beethoven sonata, you just type that into YouTube, and you can find 10, 15 examples of other students playing that. So I go over that with my students, just the idea of watching other students, checking hand position, and that's been a wonderful. And now I'm really interested to take a look at this website of this young teacher who's doing the lessons, just because you can always pick up something new from something like this.
Right.
So, yeah.
And Andrew certainly has a lot of youthful enthusiasm at the beginning of many of these videos.
I've taught for years, for 33 years in public high school, but you're always learning, and you're always learning how to, you know, to get it out of the kids. And so this is a great new, it's very exciting. It's very exciting.
All right, Ron, thanks very much. Elizabeth, you were nodding your head as Ron was talking. Is some of this stuff ringing true for you?
Sure. The idea of being able to watch other people playing exactly what you're playing at the same time and just filing through them, too. Sure.
All right, our number is 212-433-9692, and we're talking about, you know, learning music, whether it can be done I guess it can be done online. The question is, you know, what do you have to bring to it yourself? We have a comment on the website from Terrell in New Jersey who writes, although I believe strongly in the internet as a great educational tool, using it as a primary source requires a tremendous amount of self-motivation and self-knowledge. So, Andrew, I guess anybody who comes to your series of video lessons and stays with it for any length of time is doing that for exactly that reason, right? They've
yep.
got to be motivated.
Exactly, but also the people in real life, when they take in lessons, I find the only students that do very well are the ones that are self-motivated themselves, and the ones that are just there because they're trying to do lessons and they're not really self-motivated. It's almost like if they're very unself-motivated, it's almost a waste of time because they just don't want to be there. So in a way, I think all people, you know, there's the people that are motivated to do it, and basically my videos are targeted to reach the people that are passionate about music, but
all
they
right,
just
now,
don't have the...
Now you've raised the big question, which is what do you do with the 9-year-old son or daughter, and you want them to take piano lessons and they don't want to do it, and you've heard all these tales of people who, when they get to be adults, say, oh, I wish my parents had forced me to continue those piano lessons. I mean, so, you know, sometimes motivation can come from external forces, you know? Elizabeth,
yeah.
you're a teacher.
Yeah.
You must.
You know, I agree with that. I do agree. External motivation is a pretty neat thing. I've tried to study German on my own. I'm still struggling to study German, and I really find I do best when I have the external motivation of a teacher.
All right. I can just say from my own experience, having taught myself basically to play the guitar, I do miss some of the things that I would have gotten, that I know I would have gotten had I had lessons, like, you know, the technical facility and stuff like that. You can check out my blog for more on the Soundcheck page of our website at wnyc.org. Let's take another call from Tom in New Jersey. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, what's your instrument?
I'm a guitar player. I self-taught from friends. You know, I use the web to look up, you know, the music for different songs and all. But there, nothing can compete or can compare to a live person teaching you. You know, to see how they hit the notes, how they use their the heel of the hand to muffle the string. You know, that type of stuff you just can't get from a book.
Right.
You need a live person right there to show you that.
Because it is, after all, a physical act making music. Whether you're
Absolutely.
Blowing through a flute or strumming a guitar or playing the piano. All right, Tom, I think we're going to need to leave it there. Andrew, I have a final question for you. You do all of these free lessons online, but it is also how you make your living in a live setting. Is there any potential to make money from your YouTube videos?
Yes, there actually is massive amount of potential. I've gotten a couple of contracts and whatnot. I could be making a six-figure salary within maybe about 2 years from now. Could be an internet millionaire.
And you'll remember that we knew you way back when then, I hope.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to come back anytime you want me back on.
All right. Andrew Furmancic is the host of Piano Lounge, a series of free online piano lessons on his YouTube channel of that name, Piano Lounge. Elizabeth Wolf here with me in our New York studio as a piano instructor, has worked at NYU and Hunter and privately as well. And to both of you, Andrew, Elizabeth, thanks very much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Still to come, folk music icon Joan Baez looks back at her 50-year career. And tomorrow on the program, we'll find out about the Detroit-based soul artist known as Rodriguez and his 38-year-old album that is just now getting its due. And we'll look inside the new operatic adaptation of an Amy Tan novel. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck.